Friends, will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I always look up and I'm like, yeah, they're not as scary as they are in my dreams the night before, so. This passage from the book of Jeremiah, which you heard Shannon and Juliana and Morgan and I read, is perhaps one of my all-time favorite scripture readings. As I mentioned, this scripture story was read at the church's covenanting with Paul and I and the staff. And it's a scripture that I thought, though, we could hear again, because today it was assigned for today's lectionary reading. This story is wonderfully poetic, and at the same time, it's a really raw interaction between God and this boy named Jeremiah. What I like best about this passage, however, is the fact that it is an incredibly real, a real interaction between a human and with God. Because right from the beginning, Jeremiah's humanity is revealed when God asks Jeremiah to do something, and Jeremiah responds, "But I am only a youth." The young prophet, of course, is operating from an assumption or a cultural standard where youth aren't allowed to speak out or aren't supposed to speak out, and they definitely shouldn't speak out to speak the words of God. How often have we said, but I am only a youth, or but I am only a senior, I am only a man, or I am only a woman, I'm only a shy person or a sad person, but I am only a new person. What is your but I am only? We all have things that cause us to say, but I am only. Yet in this passage we hear God respond to Jeremiah's but I am only by saying, do not say you are only a youth. For I am here to deliver you. For to who all I send you shall go, and whatever I command you shall speak. See, I've set you this day a prophet over nations and kingdoms, to pluck up and break down, to destroy and to overthrow. While attending a theology school at the Atlantic School of Theology, I spent my summers working for the GO Project and my time off. And has anybody heard of the GO Project before? Yes, okay, great. I know some, yeah, Dorothy Carson raised her hand because I know her daughter just went on the GO Project this past summer. And it's an incredible youth mission experience and program where youth gather in the same church for 11 days. They sleep and they eat there, they prepare their food there. And then they go out into the surrounding community and do different volunteer experiences and offer their help to the community. And then they come back to the church in the evenings and they spend time reflecting on the needs of their own home communities and how they can respond to those needs. Every summer, we pick a focused theme, a scripture passage. And on my favorite summer at the GO Project, it happened to be the summer that Lauren and I fell in love, so I think I'm a little bit partial, but this is the passage that we chose, this passage from Jeremiah. And for 3 months, the staff lived and breathed these words from the book of Jeremiah, the call of Jeremiah. And there's something in this passage, though, that didn't just capture our attention and imagination, but captured the attention and imaginations of the youth. And it didn't take long for them to really dive in deep into this call. I think they connected with it on a deeper level. It wasn't uncommon to hear the youth running through the halls of the church yelling, to build and to plant. They really had a depth of knowledge of it. Even at one of the mission sites, they built an art installation to be installed at one of the local community gardens. And they even imprinted these words into the wood, to pluck up and break down, to build and to plant. Their depth of knowledge around the scripture, however, went far beyond just being able to recite these words. One night when the youth gathered together to plan the Sunday service, their conversation illustrated the depth of knowledge. So you see, some of the staff were really struggling with this passage. To pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow felt a little bit too restricting. It felt a little too negative. And we all wanted to just skip to the to build and plant part. However, the youth said that the passage this passage from Scripture was important for all the things that it lifted up. They so eloquently said, you can't actually build and plant until you first pluck up, break down, destroy, and overthrow. And I think you don't need to be a gardener to know that you have to first till the soil and create space for the new life before you can start building and planting. The staff were wishing just to ignore that part, but the youth helped us all see the importance of creating space for the new. In his video entitled Shells, Rob Bell offers an interesting reflection about creating space for the new. He shares a story about a time that him and his family went to a beach and walked along the beach. And together, they had a great day, he said. They went swimming and they would pick up the small shells that were along the beach and examine them. And his young boys loved holding them and looking at them. He said they were really, really beautiful. At one point in the day, Rob describes that they saw a starfish floating just off of the shore. And he said one of his son's eyes, it looked like pure determination, like that starfish is mine. And so he jumped into the water and started running out, and his family was encouraging him, saying, you got this starfish, go get it, buddy. And he got really, really close to it, and you could see his determination sort of shift to frustration, and he came bounding back to the shoreline. And they said, no, it's yours, go for it. So he went back out, and he got so, so close, and then turned around and came back in closer. And then the third time he had gone out and turned around again, came back, his parents said to him, you know, what happened? That starfish was yours. You had it. We were so close. What happened? He said, but my hands are so full of shells. How do we create room in our hands, in our hearts, in our lives, in our church, in our communities to embrace the beautiful starfish that is right before us? How do we break down and overthrow in order to make room for the new life that is just longing to sprout forth? This idea was emphasized once by a theologian named James Howell, who wrote, the order is everything. Before building and planting and before the breaking down, you first need to pluck up. Spiritually, we as a church often just like to build additions rather than to work with what we have. We like to plant things and spruce the place up a bit instead of hanging on to what we already have because we are attached to it, we earned it. But the gospel, when it dawns, the whole structure has to be plucked up, possibly ripped out. Every growth in the garden plowed into fresh dirt so the gardener, the builder, can start over. I wonder where are the places in your own life that you need to create room in order to build and to plant. How is God calling us to this new task of life for a church as well? In so many ways, I see the church doing this work. I've seen you already before I even arrived, plucking up and tilling the soil to create space for new life. I see that through your openness and willingness to create an awesome job like the one I have, which I'm really feeling like is one of my dream jobs, so thank you for that. But also to create space for the beautiful thing like Project Flourish. Now, I've heard a few of you, and I wrote about this week in the ESG newsletter, be like, what in the world is Project Flourish? Well, we're still trying to figure that out. But our hope is that Project Flourish can be a thing that is able to build and plant so that the next generation can access and connect with the church. Now, this isn't to say that I want to take away from the abundance you already have because you have beautiful things going on at the church, but rather we continue to create rich soil so new life can sprout in our midst. And as I said before, I long to build and plant something beautiful, but to plant alongside of all that you've already been building and planting in our midst. Project Flourish was awarded this great grant of over $250,000, and our hope is to do research in our community to know where we need to be building and planting and where we need to be tilling fresh soil. My hope is that Project Flourish and ESG can create a place where people all feel welcome, where they do not say, but I am only, because this is a space where all ages and backgrounds and callings are welcome. So over the next few months, you're going to hear me talk more about the beautiful and sacredness of Project Flourish, but also continue to encourage you along this way where God is calling. As Jeremiah illustrates, and as God calls, God doesn't abandon Jeremiah. God continues on the journey long into the book of Jeremiah. God is with Jeremiah throughout the ups and downs of this hard and sacred calling. And we need to believe that this story about letting go of our "but I am onlys," this story about making room for the new life to sprout, the story about Jeremiah and God is our story that we are called to continue to live. And while God calls each of us differently, the fact that God is walking alongside us is the same. God still helps us to find the words, just like God offered to Jeremiah. And God is still speaking to us. Because we need to believe, like Jeremiah did, that we are the ones we've been waiting for. Thanks be to God for the destroying and overthrowing, but also thanks be to God for the building and planting. Thanks be to God for sprouts of new life that are all around us. Amen.